Skidmore College's American Studies Department Chair Dan Nathan, recorded by producer Aaron Podnati, about the course that he teaches on HBO's The Wire.
I'm Aaron Pednati, and today I'm interviewing Dan Nathan, the chair of the American Studies Department at Skidmore College, about the course that he teaches on HBO's The Wire. Dan is the author of the award-winning book Saying It's So, A Cultural History of the Black Sox Scandal. He is the editor of Baltimore Sports, Stories from Charm City. He's also the recipient of several honors, including a National Endowment for the Humanities Fellowship and a Fulbright Fellowship. Dan, thanks for talking with me today. It's good to be interviewing you.
It's my pleasure.
So to start out, can you give us a general sense of what The Wire is about and explain why it's the sort of show to which college courses are devoted?
Of course. The Wire was a HBO show. It aired for 5 seasons. And to understand what it is, I think it's important to back up and create just a little bit of context about the show's runner, its primary producer, and his name is David Simon. David Simon's background is journalism. He worked for the Baltimore Sun for many years. And at one point in his career at the Baltimore Sun, he basically got a year's paid leave to go follow homicide detectives around for the year to become kind of a fly on the wall and write about what they saw on their job, which is a very difficult job, of course, in a city like Baltimore, which has a lot of homicides, hundreds of them every year. So he wrote that book. It was called Homicide: A Year on the Killing Streets. And it was optioned and produced by Barry Levinson and Tom Fontana. And David Simon worked on that show as a writer. And that show really taught him about how to produce his own television show. Soon thereafter, he co-wrote another book with a man named Ed Burns. Ed Burns had been a homicide detective for 20 years. Before that, though, he had been in Vietnam. After his career as a police detective, he became a Public City school teacher. And the two of them worked on a book. It's called The Corner, and it's about how people in an impoverished community, some of whom are addicted to drugs, how they deal with that situation. So they were looking at the drug war from the perspective of its victims. So Burns and Simon wrote The Corner, which was later turned into a HBO miniseries, which David Simon co-produced. It was a big hit. I think it won some awards, including a Peabody. That TV experience made him think about another story he wanted to tell. And so he pitched to HBO. He pitched this narrative about how police and drug dealers interact with each other, how the war on drugs looks from different perspectives. And he did it in a unique, novel way in that he humanized everyone. The drug dealers aren't stereotyped. They're not caricatures. They're not even archetypes. They're human beings. They have strengths. They have weaknesses. They have flaws. They have depth. And it's a really rich story. So then what he did after the first season of that is he added 4 other seasons, and each season follows a different institution. The second season focuses on longshoremen, stevedores, what happens to blue-collar labor when work goes away. Right, when industrialism is replaced with post-industrialism and people have to confront that new economic and social reality. The third season focused on City Hall, about local politics. And all the while, those characters he developed in the first season are still in play. Some, of course, have fallen by the wayside because, you know, it's a violent trade and some characters are murdered or imprisoned. But basically, the characters he developed in the first season are ongoing, and the characters he developed in the second season, to a lesser extent, are ongoing in this narrative. So the third season is on City Hall. The fourth season is about inner city public education. And the fifth season focuses on the Baltimore Sun, the institution that he used to work for. In every case, he's showing institutional dysfunction and how they affect real people, that is, you know, his characters. So it's a complex skein of narratives. You really need to see the whole thing. It's a serial narrative. You can't just dip in and out of it. In order to understand what The Wire is really about, you need to watch all 60 episodes in order.
So based on your own experience of teaching a course about it, how can The Wire help students to grasp the complexities of the topics that it covers in its storylines, and how can its way of dealing with these topics supplement more traditionally academic ways of teaching about them?
You have to begin, of course, with it as a narrative. That is, students are automatically, perhaps even naturally, inclined to come at it first as a story. They need to understand the story, what happens to whom and why. Who are the characters? What are the relationships? Who survives and who does not? after we've figured out, you know, what really happens in the story, then you can stop, pause, reflect, think, discuss about, well, what does it mean? How does it illustrate what are sometimes abstract concepts like globalization or neoliberalism? And the show is really rich. It doesn't just in some ways supplement disciplinary understandings of these things. It actually illustrates them richly. The scholarship on The Wire is really rich. It's ongoing. There are many sociologists, there are urban historians, there's anthropologists, economists, and they all understand that The Wire is basically trying not just to tell a story, although that is part of it, but that it's a series of arguments, that the show has actually multiple theses. And one of the writers, Ralph Alvarez, who came to my class this semester, he lives in Baltimore, he says the show is actually a series of indictments. And these institutions that Simon is interrogating and critiquing are deeply flawed and are having real effects on the characters. And so The Wire humanizes a whole series of complicated issues that otherwise can easily get lost in abstraction or just mere theory. The Wire doesn't allow that to happen because it's so much rooted in what seem to be like real people and in a rich, seemingly authentic historical and contemporary context.
When I was going to grad school at NYU, I knew a PhD student in sociology who told me she couldn't get her parents to understand structural arguments for poverty until she got them to watch The Wire. When she'd explain it to them in the language that she was learning as a grad student, the ideas didn't resonate with their own experiences and their sense of the world. But when they saw the same type of arguments play out in a series of stories that depict the extremes of poverty, it started to make sense to them. Have you ever seen anything similar with your own students? And more generally, can you tell us about the ways they've reacted to the show?
You know, students, their reactions are quite varied, and they come at it from so many different angles. Some of them have never seen it. Some of them have seen it multiple times. Some of them enrolled in the class in part because their parents urged them to do so. Their parents had seen the show and thought highly of it. One of my favorite moments in this class, I've taught it a couple times now, was when a student, when we were introducing ourselves, he said that he had seen the show all the way through twice before and that he was envious of his classmates who had not yet seen it because he yearned to see it for the first time through fresh eyes. The reactions are really great, and I think that experience you're talking about with your NYU student makes sense to me in that there are some complicated theoretical abstract ideas that are just better expressed, better illustrated through narrative. And students, after they understand what the narrative's about who's who and what are their relationships to other people, their Wire literacy is incredibly high. There's something about this narrative that really resonates with them, and they remember and, in fact, know elements of the show so well. It's like they've read a really good novel and remembered almost all of it, and sometimes in amazing detail. That's important because once you know the show, know the show really well, then you can take that next step and talk about the larger issues. David Simon sometimes gets agitated, right, when people watch the show and just like it as a narrative, when he's really trying to make cultural criticism. He's really trying to offer social critique. He wants us to appreciate the show for the political and sociological arguments he's making. And if you don't appreciate it in those terms, he's somewhat agitated. But my point is, so what? Everyone's going to come to this show from a different place, and they're going to take different things about the show with them. And that's one of the reasons why it's such a great text. It's so rich. It's so open for analysis. It's so multifaceted that regardless if you're a sociologist or a historian or an anthropologist or economist, you're going to see something in The Wire that makes a great deal of sense to you.
Okay, last question. Despite the fact that it's very focused on the city of Baltimore, Maryland, do you think that The Wire contains any lessons that are also applicable to the capital region of New York State? In particular, how would you compare the state of Baltimore as depicted in the show to that of Albany, Schenectady, and Rensselaer counties in real life? And how might The Wire be used to reflect on and address local social conditions?
That's a very good question. David Simon produced a show about a city that he knows very well. He has a great deal of affection for, and there's no doubt about it. One of the strengths of the show is that the city becomes a character. They've shot it on location. They go out of their way to make prominent landmarks visible in the show. They try the best they can to use local vernacular. It's clearly about Baltimore. So much so, of course, that some local officials weren't real appreciative of the show because they thought it depicted the city in less than flattering light, which is true, because the show is rooted in social reality. At the same time, David Simon said, look, I don't have to make this show here. I could make it in Cleveland, just call it Baltimore. He could have said it in all kinds of places. It could have been Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo, Gary, Indiana, Flint, Michigan. It could have been all kinds of places that are suffering from poverty, under and unemployment, drug abuse, problems between the police and its community members, police brutality. All these things are common in cities all over the country, including, of course, here in the Capital District. Many of these problems are the kinds of things that are taking place in Albany and Troy and Schenectady and Rensselaer. Anytime you have a community like Schenectady that was really predicated on a really big employer like General Electric, when General Electric, when GE pulls up and the community loses thousands of jobs, these kinds of problems ensue. So while it is about Baltimore, you can definitely make parallels, make connections between what's going on in The Wire and what's going on in scores of other American cities.
Well, that sounds like a good reason that we should watch it. Thanks again for this interview, Dan. It was very nice talking with you.
It was my pleasure.
That was WOOC's correspondent Aaron Pedinati speaking with Dan Nathan about The Wire.